All right, so tonight, it's the first of the year, right? It's the beginning of the year, it's January. Tonight, we're going to be talking about diets. Everybody knows you're going to diet at the beginning of the year, right? You make your New Year's resolutions. You know, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to go on a diet. I need to lose weight. So we're going to talk about diets a little bit. A couple of things about diet. Well, first, there's like a ton of diets, right? I mean, there's like, you can do the low-calorie thing, you can do the Atkins thing, the, what is it, Miami Beach or something like that, South Beach. South Beach, there's like a ton of different diets. I looked up in Wikipedia, there's actually, like if you just look up diets in Wikipedia, there is over, over 115 different kinds of diets. So I think we're all pretty familiar with diets. So we're going to kind of look at that and look at a few things that God wants to show us through that tonight. So a couple of things. Diets. What is a diet? A diet is a short-term thing, right? Like you go on a diet for a week, 3 weeks, a month, maybe 90 days, right? That's like that's a really long diet. But they're short-term, right? And it's their short-term spans based on quick results, really, right? When you go on a diet, say, okay, I'm going to go on a diet. First day, you know, you weigh yourself, like, all right, okay, see how much I weigh. You know, I'm not really happy about that. So you start your diet. And, you know, like I said, there's a ton of different diets. But has anybody ever heard of, I remember one time my parents did this crazy diet. It was like this crazy cabbage soup diet. Like, all you eat is cabbage soup, this weird cabbage soup. That's nasty. That is like the worst diet I've ever heard of. So let's just say you're doing the crazy nasty cabbage diet. The first day you just eat nasty cabbage soup, all, you know, for breakfast, lunch, dinner. The next day you wake up, what do you do in the morning? You weigh yourself. You're like, what happened? You know, like, did I lose any weight? You know, like, it's an immediate thing. You want to see some results, man. Like, when you're on a diet, it's a short-term thing based on getting immediate or quick results, right? Another thing, when you're on a diet, you basically stop eating the stuff you like and you eat the stuff that you don't like just so you can get the results. Is that right? So like, you know, for example, let's say I'm going on the cabbage diet and it's the second day. I'm driving home from work and I'm driving past Miguel Jr.'s and just the Miguel Jr. original burrito with shredded beef and like four things of hot sauce is just calling my name. And I'm like, I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. I want to lose weight. I'm going to go home and I'm going to eat cabbage and it's going to taste good. And, you know, I'm not going to do it. So what do? Diets, you don't eat the things you want to and you eat the things you don't want to because it's for a short-term thing. It's a short-term thing. You can handle that. Another thing about diets, they are done on a need basis, right? Like nobody says like, you know what? I feel good. I look good. I weigh good. I want to go on a diet. No, that doesn't happen. You go on a diet because you need a diet, right? It's a need-based thing. So either you look in the mirror and you're like, man, I just need to lose some weight. Or summer's coming up and you're looking at your bathing suit and you're like, no way, I'm going to get into that thing, you know, like this. That's just not going to happen. Or, you know, or maybe it's the doctor tells you need a diet. Like your blood sugar is too high, your cholesterol is too high, whatever, blah, blah, blah. You need to go on a diet. Those are the main things about a diet. That kind of defines or breaks down what a diet is. And so what does that have to do with us here tonight and our relationship with God? Here's what God showed me. A lot of times, a lot of us approach God with a diet mentality. So what does that mean? What does that mean? So let's go back through kind of those points. So we find ourselves in need. Okay, so for example, like, oh God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to pay these bills. I don't know, you know, I don't have gas money to get here or there, or I really need healing in this area. I can't get back to work until my back starts feeling better, or you know, I just went through a really bad relationship. I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't handle these feelings. God, I need you. I need you, God. And there you go. You fall on your knees. God, I need you. I need you. And you go after God, right? It's a need-based thing. That's what happens when you have a diet mentality with God. Another thing, same thing happens. Okay, we find ourselves in a need. God, I need you. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to pay the bills this week. So then we come to God and we're like, okay. I'm gonna get in there with God. I'm gonna start seeking Him. I'm gonna start pursuing God. I'm gonna start seeing what He has to do for me. And so we suppress, you know, the I'm not gonna watch TV. I'm not gonna watch TV this week. I'm going after God. He's gonna pay my bills, and I'm not gonna do this. I'm gonna cut that out and cut this out, and I'm going after God. And I'm believing He's gonna meet my need. And then the need either God miraculously shows up and meets the need. Praise God. Or the need passes, whatever. But what happens is now, God, I need you. So you live a life, you go to God, I need you. You live a life where your need for God is like this. God, I just need you. I can't do this. I don't know what I'm going to do. Da, da, da. The need passes. God meets the need. And now you live a life where your need for God is like this again. And like, you can't even tell that you need God. It's like, oh, yeah, I need God. Praise God, whatever. I'm doing my thing. Everything's paid. What do you guys want to do today? Cool, whatever. Blah, blah. Watching TV again or whatever, You go back to what you were doing before. And the thing about diets, the thing about a diet mentality with God is that it's a cycle, right? Like you go on a diet, you lose weight over time, sometimes quickly, sometimes over a long amount of time, the weight comes back. And then what do? You go on another diet. Right? It's the same thing with God. When you have that mentality with God, God, I need you. The need passes. The need gets met, whatever happens. And now, over time, your need for God shrinks to where you don't even realize that you need Him anymore. You don't live like you do, at least. And you fall right back into living your life just the way you did before, mostly doing your thing, And then what happens? Another need comes up. God, I need you. And you're back in the cycle. It's cyclical, right? That is not what God has called for us tonight. So tonight we're going to look at a couple of things. God has not called us to a godly diet. Diets don't last. So that's the name of the message tonight. That's the title, Diets Don't Last. Diets don't last, but He's called us to a godly lifestyle. Amen? All right, so we're going to look at a couple of things. How do we develop a godly lifestyle? Number one. Your perspective and your goals have to change. In a diet, it's like we talked about earlier. It's short term. It's a couple weeks, a couple days, maybe a couple months at the most. And that is a short term goal. And the thing with the short term goal is that you get it and then you move on. But God hasn't called us to be short-term. He hasn't called us to a diet mentality. He's called us to a long-term goal. So what does that mean? So for example, say like, talking about food, I'm not going to do a diet. I'm going to make a lifestyle change. Praise God for lifestyle changes. I'm all about those. I don't like diets. So you say, I'm going to make a lifestyle change. What's the difference? The difference is that you say, I'm not going to eat this food or that food because not because I want to lose weight, but because I want to be healthier. I just want to be healthier. So now you're saying, you're looking long term. I just want to be healthier. And what's a byproduct of you just being healthy, consistently living that way? A byproduct of that is you lose weight. So it's the same thing with God. The goal or the reason that we're coming to God is always short-term based. This thing comes up. I need God, I need God. He shows up, or the need just passes. Something happens, we move on, and now we don't need God anymore. And we can't, God gave me this little sentence, I thought it was good. We can't have a short-term, need-based relationship with God. God has not called us to a short-term, need-based relationship with Him. And so when we start to look long-term, we really start to just see God, okay, God, how am I going to do this long-term? How am I going to have a godly lifestyle? You have to first realize that I need to see long-term. How do I see long-term, God? How am I going to see long-term with you, God? What does that even look like? What does that mean? That long-term means that you see God, my need for you isn't like this when I don't know how I'm going to pay the bills, or I really need a job and this and that's going to happen, or whatever it might be where it makes you feel like, oh God, I need you. I need you like this. We have to realize that our need for God is long-term. Our need for God is this big, every day, whether he pays the bills or not, right? Why is that? What does that mean? What am I trying to say? Our need for God is this big because without God, in my own strength, trying to not do things that I'm not supposed to do, trying to do all these things in my own strength, all I'm doing, I'm setting myself up for failure because I can never achieve what God's called me to. I can never do what God's asked me to do because in my own strength, I'm a filthy sinner, right? That's the bottom line. That's the truth of it. The bottom line, the truth of it is that I'm a filthy sinner and without God, I go to hell. I deserve hell. I would get what I deserve, hell. So that means I need to say, God, change my perspective. Help me to change my goals. Help me to see long-term with you, that my need for you is this big every day, whether or not you pay this or you do that or you heal this or you heal that. My need for you is this big, God, because without you, I get what I deserve. That's hell. Right? That was a pitiful clap. I forgive you, though. And when we change our focus on with God, we say, God, I'm going to see long term. I'm going to recognize my need for you. I'm going to see this thing long term. Now, all of a sudden, we get our eyes fixed on God the right way. And just like a lifestyle change with how you eat, the byproducts of that are the blessing and the healing and direction and all these other things. These things are just byproducts that happen because now we've got our eyes fixed on the prize in the first place. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Talking to that point. You probably know it. If you don't know it, it's certainly familiar. So let me just read it real fast. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Talking about byproducts. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, how many people have heard that verse? Right? You've heard the verse. I'm trying to help you understand it. That seeking God, you have to have the long-term relationship with God, that the long-term goal, the long-term outlook that says, God, I'm seeking you first and your righteousness. Then all these other things. You know, before that, in the same chapter before that, it's talking about worry, you know, what about this and what about that? And, you know, God's like, stop worrying about that stuff. See long term, and I'll take care of all these other things. One other long term thing to help you see long term, how you can change your vision of God, your relationship with God to a long term instead of a short term thing, is realizing that long term, we are here to glorify God. We're here that in our lives, we could serve him and we could glorify him. I mean, we sang songs about it tonight. You know, like, it should be, and we know this, like Christians, we're little Christians just, you know, being like Christ. We're a light set on it. Like, you know, all these things that we're supposed to be an example. We're supposed to exude these things where we glorify God. People see us and they say, man, something's different about that person, right? That's us glorifying God in our life. We do something, we live a different way, we act a different way, we talk a different way, that people say, that person's different, and we bring glory to God. We need to bring glory to God. We need to say, God, today, my need for you is this big. Today, God, I want to glorify you in everything that I do. A verse for that real quick. 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says, therefore, whether you eat, drink, go to work, be an adult child at home, be a parent, be a spouse, it doesn't matter who you are, what you're doing, it doesn't matter. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So what do we got to do? We got to change our perspective. We got to change our goals. We got to get off this short-term stuff that's so easy to get caught up into. And we got to get into the long-term and realize that, God, I am serving you and I'm going to have a godly lifestyle because I see long-term. And I see you, Father God, that my need for you is great every day. And that every day, God, I want to glorify you. Number two. Your tastes and desires have to change. So in a lifestyle change, like, you literally have to change what you like. You literally have to change the things that bring you satisfaction, that you, oh man, I really like that. Those things have to change. Just like in a regular diet, you know, okay, I'm gonna start living healthier. I'm not gonna eat fast food anymore. I'm gonna shop at Clark's, and I'm gonna shop at, you know, Trader Joe's. I'm gonna pay more money for organic stuff that expires way faster, and you have to cook it all really fast or it goes bad. I'm gonna pay more for it. I'm gonna do all this stuff, and I'm not gonna eat out anymore. I'm gonna do this because I want to live healthier. You do it for a week, you do it for 2 weeks, for a couple, 3 weeks, a month, and you start to get used to it. You know, your body is adjusting, and these foods, they're better for you. You can feel, man, I feel better. This, you know, like, I have a little more energy. I sleep better at night. You know, all these things, like, you literally start to change. And then, you know, someone's like, hey, we're all going out. We're going to go hit up McDonald's after church. You want to come? And, like, you're like, oh, McDonald's, it's nasty. Like, you know, or you do not desire McDonald's, or fill in your place here. You know, I don't care. Whatever it is, whatever the thing is, you don't desire that anymore. And even if you do eat it, your body is like, you shouldn't be eating that. And it tells you, and it's not good. You know, like, you literally, so what am I trying to say? It's the same thing to have a godly relationship, a godly lifestyle with God. You have to change what you like. So on a diet, okay, I'm not going to eat this anymore or whatever. So, you kind of suppress it. It's short term. I can wait till Saturday. I'm going to get that burrito and it's going to be awesome. I'm going to have to get like a plate and a knife and a fork because it's going to go everywhere and it's just going to be great. But in our relationship with God, thinking long term, that doesn't work. So, you know, let's go back to our example. I have a need again. Oh God, here's my need. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how you're going to show up. I don't know, you know, how you can heal this relationship. It just hurts so bad. I don't know what to do. This and that, you know, and so you just kind of, you start like, okay, God, I need you. I need you in this area. And I'm going to start suppressing, you know, I'm not going to do this. So for example, you know your thing, and I know God will minister to you when I start naming off some things. You'll know what yours is. So maybe, you know, okay, God, I don't want to gossip anymore. God's convicting you. Don't gossip. You need to stop gossiping. You talk smack a lot, and it's not good, and you know it. You know, and so you know, okay, I need to work on gossip. Or God said, you know, you need to stop watching that TV show, and you need to stop watching movies like that. And you know it. I've been convicting you. I've been telling you, you need to stop doing this. You need to stop doing that. Or you need to stop sleeping around or sleeping with this person or this or that. And you know, God's telling you, and you feel convicted. You don't like it. You do it, and you're like, I don't want to do that anymore. But still, and it happens again. And, you know, you know the feeling that I'm talking about. But what's the problem? You say, God, I need you. I don't want to do it anymore. So you suppress it. Okay, I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. I'm done. I'm chasing after God. So, okay, so for example, okay, you know, God, me and my boyfriend, me and my girlfriend, we're not going to sleep together anymore. We know that we're not supposed to, so we're going to stop doing it. We want to seek you. We want to go after you. So, okay, we're not going to do it. We set a curfew. 9 o'clock, we part our ways, we go home. So, okay, we're going to do that. We're not going to do that anymore. 9 o'clock comes, you split, you go home. You go home, you're like, all right, God, I'm not going to do that anymore. You read your Bible for 5 minutes, then you watch TV for 2 hours. Right? And what are you doing? You're just suppressing these desires. You want to do that. Like, you like that. But yeah, I'm not going to do that. I know it's not from God, and I know it's not good, so we're not going to do it. We're not. Split. You go home. You do it for a week. You know, you read for 5 minutes. You feel good. Woo, read my Bible. And then, you know, then you just do whatever. You do your thing. Surf Facebook. Go on Twitter. Whatever your thing is. And what we're doing when we do that is we're suppressing the thing that we want to do, and we're leaving a gap. We're leaving a hole, a space in our spirit. And we're saying, I'm not going to do that. But then we're not filling it with God. So what happens? You end up cycling again, because the power that these desires have are greater than the power that you're letting God have in that area. So what do you have to do? You have to change your desires. You have to change the things that you taste. Let's go to this verse. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. You guys getting anything from this? Philippians chapter 2, I'm going to start halfway through verse 12. It says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do good for his good pleasure." So we know that it's God's, it's will for us to do these good things. We know that that's what he wants us to do, but the verse right before that says, to work out your salvation. What does that mean? It means you got to work at it, man. Like, you want to do this. I'm not going to do it, but it has a lot of power. You can only hold it in your own strength for so long. So you have to have God come in and say, God, I'm going to fill this area, this hole, this space in my life with you. Reading for more than 5 minutes. You know, really getting into the presence of God, saying, okay, I'm going to read. I'm going to pray. I'm going to just seek you, God. Whatever you tell me to do, we fill ourselves in that. And it's not easy. It's hard. You have to work out your salvation. That's what it's, you have to really work at it. It takes time. But over time, as you start doing this, this gets lighter. It's not so heavy anymore because this is getting stronger. What's on the inside is getting stronger. And over time, now that your taste have, and your desires have started to change, and you've trained yourself that this is what I like, this is what's good, because you finally felt what it's really supposed to be, and God's revealing himself to you. When this tries to come up again, it's not hard to say no. Why? Because, not because you're like, oh, I don't want to do it, it's bad, I know I don't want to do it. You know, because you're like, no, God, I know you, and my desires are to please you and to know you and to be with you. Why would I don't want to do that. It's no, of course not. Why would I do that? You know, and and it goes even more for secret sin, right? Because nobody's there to keep you accountable for it if you don't tell nobody, right? And so it's on you to either get with God, get with some, do somebody, tell somebody. Get with God to make it clear, like, look, this is an issue and that you really have to work to change your desires. Amen? All right. One more verse on that. Matthew 6:21. It says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. What do you treasure? So here's the question. Where are your treasures right now? You know, what do you treasure? For me, and for I think a lot of us, you know, it's not how we would like it to be. I say that scripture and I ask that question that so that you can examine yourself and God can show you areas in your life that you are putting other things above and before God, so that you can change them, so that you can get to know God for who he is in all of his fullness and say, God, I love you so much more than these other things. I don't want nothing to do with them. And it's not hard. It's not this battle of, oh, please, you know, don't, I can't go over there anymore. I can't do this. Or you can have freedom when your desires change because your desires are on God now. And these other things of the world don't have power over you. Amen. Number three, you must commit to change. You must commit to change. So going back to the diet thing. With the diet, okay, I'm doing my nasty cabbage soup diet. And it's like 5 days into it, and I'm going to do it for 2 weeks or something. And I'm like, man, I just really want just a little snack, you know? I'm not going to, like, go eat McDonald's. I just want a little snack. Is there anything wrong with a little snack? Jeez. And so what do? You know, you kind of snack a little bit, you know, a couple chips. That's it. All I had is a couple chips. Or, you know, or I'm not drinking soda anymore. You know, like, I just had one. And it was the little one, you know, the 100-calorie little one. Like, it's just a little snack, little. What is that called in a diet? That's cheating, right? It's cheating, man. Could you be any more clear? It's cheating. What does that look like in our lives? What does that look like in the Bible? The Bible calls it compromise. Let me read a verse. Flip over to Romans chapter 1. See, the thing with compromise is a slippery slope for Christians that will take you right back to that cycle of a diet mentality with God. Sometimes slow, sometimes fast, but it's always compromise. Romans chapter 1. I'm not that fast, sorry. Okay, Romans chapter 1, verse 25. Who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature, the short term, rather than the creator, the long term. Right? Who exchanged the truth of God for a lie. If you look back before that, the verse is talking about people who knew God. These people knew God. It wasn't like, oh, I just got saved. I didn't know any better, you know. No, these people knew God. They knew who he was. They've seen the things that he had done. And what did they do? They exchanged the truth of God that they knew. They knew it. They exchanged it for a lie. The devil lies to us all the time. The devil was always lying. It's not a big deal. Just do this little thing. Or nobody's going to see. You know, it's all good. Or, you know, stop being so religious. Jeez, you know, just, do, you know, whatever it is. Like, the devil will tell you whatever he needs to tell you to get you to compromise. And like I said, compromise is the quickest way, and it is a sure way to get back into the diet mentality of God that has a short-term view of God that says, God, I need you. Need gets met, need gets passed, and we go back to doing our own thing. Compromise will get you there quickly. God can do amazing things in your life. God showed up amazing. He did this and he did that, and I don't even know how this happened. And you're sharing your testimony, and then you see him like a year later, and you're like, are they a Christian? Like, I haven't even seen them in church. Are they a Christian? Do they do this? Like, oh, dang, I just saw them there. Nope. You know, or whatever, you know. What happened? Compromise. Compromise. It started with compromise. Them doing something that they knew they ought not do because God had convicted them. You know, don't say Jesus, you can't, that God doesn't talk to you. He talks to you. It's called conviction. It's a sure way to know, like, okay, I hear God. I've done that. I'm like, God, I don't hear your voice. And they'll convict me. I'm like, oh, wait, I heard your voice. I'm like, like, God talks to you. He convicts us. He leads us. He guides us with his spirit. And when we don't listen to those things, we don't be obedient to them, we buy into a lie that the devil says, not a big deal, not this, not that. You compromise, you fall back, you end up back in the cycle that God, or the cycle of a diet mentality. So what has God called us? God has called us to a life of knowing and living in his fullness. In his fullness. Like, compromise is like the opposite of, right, of that. Right? I have this big thing, and you start compromising. Like, oh, there goes that. That starts getting smaller, right? Smaller and smaller. Compromise is not fullness. It's the opposite. It's going the wrong direction. So let's look at that one last verse to kind of bring this together. If I could have you turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to start at 17. It says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, what is the length, what is the depth, what is the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Who is this God? Like, what is this? What does this fullness even mean? Oh, the part of this fullness is that God can do, who he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could hope, think, ask, imagine. I mean, God is so big, and we compromise, and now, you know, God's not that big. Not because he's not that big, but because we've made him smaller. You know, we compromise more, oh, we've made God smaller. And, you know, compromise, you know, just a little thing. Or maybe, you know, the compromise is that you've compromised and that you haven't changed it. Like, it's just there and it's been there. And you know it's been there, but you haven't faced it because you're like, I don't think I can. You know, this is too hard or whatever. And what are we doing? We're shrinking God down to our size. He is the God who wants us to know and live in his fullness that is exceedingly above anything that we could hope, think, or imagine. Why? Forgive me, I can't find my place. I've done this like twice. Work with me. You can do according to the power that works in us, right? That's his fullness. Us living in his fullness now, it works in us. Let's keep going. To him be the glory. We're here to glorify him, right? Long term. That's long term thinking. To him be the glory. In Christ, in the church, by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So what do we need to do to have a godly lifestyle and get out of a diet mentality with God? Your perspectives and your goals have to change. You got to get out of the short term, God, I need you, to the long term, God, I still need you. You got to change what you like. The desires have to change. You can't suppress them and hold them in your own strength forever. You will fail. You will end up back in the cycle. You have to change the desires. It's not easy. You have to work out it. Work out your salvation. And it will change. And it will be... It is amazing because it breaks the power of the devil in your life. The devil has me. He always gets me in this. Break the power. How? By changing your desires. Work at it. It's hard, but you can do it through God. Last thing, you have to commit to the change. You cannot compromise. You have to realize that God has called you to a life of fullness and that you are doing and selling yourself short and living a life less than what God has called for you when you compromise. Amen? If God spoke to you, give him praise.